Commissioner Murray? Commissioner Sager? Commissioner Graham White?
Here.
Commissioner Borman? Commissioner Reno Ogden?
Here.
Commissioner Krasinski?
Here.
And Chairman Franning?
Here. Okay. Thank you all. First item, approval of the meeting minutes from September 29th, our last meeting. Does anyone have any comments or revisions? None here. Carla, do you have any comments or revisions?
No, they're fine with me.
Okay. Then is there a motion to accept as written? Is there a second?
Second.
Commissioner Murr? Commissioner Graham White?
Aye.
Commissioner Forehand? Commissioner Reno Ogden?
Aye.
Krasinski?
Yes.
Chairman Franning?
Aye. Quick comments. One person in the audience, Frank Lippo, and Frank is scheduled to do a presentation after the public comments are over. Therefore, do we have any written comments sent to us? Okay. Then, on to Frank, your presentation on preservation of parks.
The Zoom call, the
microphone so that we can record.
Sure, of course.
Thanks.
Yeah, I intended this to be pretty casual, so I'll keep it casual in terms of presentation. Just a bit of background. My day job is I'm the executive director of the Historical Society of Oak Park and River Forest for more than 25 years, 27 years perhaps. And for most of that time, the organization was based in Pleasant Home in Mills Park. And then 5 years ago was the grand opening of our new facility, Oak Park River Forest Museum, at the corner of Lake Street and Lombard Avenue in an 1898 firehouse. So that's sort of professionally where I'm coming from and my connection to local history. My wife and I live in Oak Park as a bit of background and raised three daughters who all graduated from Oak Park River Forest High School. So that's me sort of positioned in the community. What I'm here to talk to you about is kind of an outgrowth of my day job and also my interest in preservation in both of our villages, I think broadly. Very specifically, in addition to all those years, myself and other staff members and volunteers working with people who want to find out more about their building, their home, you know, the built environment in Oak Park and River Forest. I myself have learned so much through the years about various architects and various aspects of our local sort of historical built environment. And I sat in a similar chairs to where you're sitting tonight from 2002 to 2008. I was one of the HPC commissioners in Oak Park, and so saw the sort of range of questions and issues and preservation broadly. Through the years, as I've grown older and with that kind of background that I've just told you about, it became apparent to me that in Oak Park and River Forest, there's now with the two preservation commissions and with an organization like our local historical site that has overlapping sort of duties and things related to local history, that there really would be a need to have a sort of more grassroots organization. So after you stop your service, your terms are up here, or several terms are up, or myself as a former commissioner, people get involved in preservation in the two villages in various ways. And sometimes there's not necessarily a continuity, or how do you stay involved if you're not like formally a commissioner? Also, I found myself involved in a couple of preservation sort of battles or you know, sort of more contentious issues in Oak Park, where by the time people find out that perhaps an important building is about to be lost, it sort of ends up being a little bit like close to the last hour. And even if you were working on it for a while, it has the appearance of trying to stop progress versus, you know, fighting for what you think is a, maybe perhaps a worthy building that perhaps there's a chance to have it preserved and maybe adaptively used in a different way. So with that as background, I reached out to Frank Heitzman, who I've worked with on a few projects, an architect in Oak Park, has been very involved kind of in preservation issues for many years, former chair of the Oak Park Historic Preservation Commission, and a fighter for some of these issues. And Christopher Payne, who is sort of the immediate past chair of the Oak Park Historic Preservation Commission. And so we're kind of just talking about some of these issues. Is there maybe an opportunity to form some sort of organization or to move in that direction? So what we did is, that was sort of in the spring, in the summer, in June, just kind of call for an open meeting, anybody interested in this idea. And we're kind of using the moniker Preservation Oak Park because Chris had started a Facebook page, Preservation Oak Park, and people seemed very interested, just people that were new to the community and just, you know, sharing photographs of a great house in the village and that kind of thing. And one of the things I was talking with Frank and Chris about was, since I've been so involved across the boundaries, and I think Oak Park and River Forest are so unique in their own ways, but have a lot, obviously, in common shared experience, should this be something that be broadly for the, both villages or West Cook County? And the sort of discussion we had in that first meeting in June was, it seems like so far everyone sort of around the table showed up tonight, and some of the discussions all are more Oak Parkers. We didn't want to put ourselves in a position of sort of starting calling it West Cook Preservation when there's, you know, there was one person from Maywood at one meeting and somebody from Maywood at the other meeting. And, you know, so there's a little bit of that. So we had meetings in June, September, and October just earlier this week, and have developed sort of a core mission statement with the idea of not incorporating as an organization yet, but just kind of trying for the next year to kind of break into a couple committees and kind of see what issues are out there right now and how we could perhaps, instead of just being the sort of preservationists, large P or small P, you know, how you describe yourselves or other people involved, that of course don't agree on every issue anyway, because that's we all have our own perspectives. But is there, as I was joking, are 70% of us around a table of 20 people who show up in a meeting, can we agree? 70% of us agree on 70% of these ideas, right? Like that it's worthy of preserving. Buildings that maybe have been identified in architectural surveys or by certain architects or have certain features. So that's been sort of the discussion so far. Honestly, now is sort of a really good time just to kind of bring you up to speed on this, because the idea is to break into three committees, a sort of education committee, an advocacy committee, and a sustainability committee. And the sustainability was meant to be sort of a catch-all phrase of trying some new ideas out to tie into the more green revolution of just trying to have buildings be more energy efficient. But some preservationists say the greenest building is the building that's already there, right? Like if you put it all in the landfill, that's not necessarily a good use of resources. So this idea of in sustainability, what does that really mean? What are some new directions? One of the people who's attended, I think all the June, September, and October meetings, Steve Kelly is an architect who lives in Oak Park, and he was saying, quoting him roughly, was some ideas for preservation can be stale. Like, I just think it's a beautiful building, and here's why. And it's kind of an aesthetic argument, which should always be there. We should be able to argue for beauty and materials and craftsmanship and that kind of thing. But when someone says, yeah, it's pretty, but it's not my taste, you know, what are some of the other arguments for preservation? Why might it be important? I think adaptive reuse of finding a new use for a building, when somebody says, well, it's built as a stable and there's no horses in River Forest or Oak Park left, you know, should it be just torn down because its original use is gone? So what I am going to distribute here, and I have extra copies for the commissioners who aren't here, is just a sort of almost a prospectus, Preservation Oak Park. And this actually, let's see, 4, 5, 6. I'm I'm going to give you enough to just pass around the table. And this kind of summarizes a little bit of what I just was saying. You'll see some of the ideas I love in the sustainability committee, sort of just as it stands now. There's a bunch of questions. You know, what are some ways to preserve, you know, what are some of the questions that we should be asking as people who are preservationists? Now, unlike some interests that we all might have, to the best of my knowledge, there's not a test to be a preservationist. There's not a, a quiz. I think those of us who have gotten involved in this area broadly, love something about the scale and the architecture and the sort of village planning of how our communities, saying Oak Park and Bear Forest together, look and what attracts people to them. But it's a real open question, because we also, I personally believe, even though I will lean toward, can a building be preserved, reused, adapted? I won't say to you tonight that every building forever should always be standing, right? There's always, it's more like, can preservation help guide some of those changes? If there's a building and an empty lot next to it, and there's a need for redevelopment, could some of that building be incorporated into the new development? What are the issues that you're facing sort of meeting, you know, week in, week out, or month in, month out, I should say. But I wanted to bring this to you to keep you in the loop. At this point, right now, we're just, again, calling it Preservation Oak Park. Could it be Preservation Oak Park River Forest? Yeah, it could be whatever we sort of want to make it. But I think part of it is, could a group of grassroots people, this meeting on Tuesday had maybe 10 or 11, the two meetings before it had 25 and 23, coming out on a Tuesday night just to kind of talk about these issues. And there's a number of people, the emails we're using were just people emails. There's something in the paper about it. We just did some email blasts to come list we had. So there's probably people that we're not reaching that might have an interest in this area. Or over time, this might grow into something. So I think the idea is, how can we communicate better about this? I'm very aware that I don't always know what's going on with your Historic Preservation Commission, unless it's something that sometimes rises to a more controversial issue. And I think that's the same thing for living and physically working in Oak Park. I don't always follow the HPC in Oak Park until something comes up. So I think there's a lot of these times in between, or maybe these conversations that we could be having. Perhaps this group of people, maybe one or more of you might want to get involved, or even if you don't, or don't have the time or energy right now in your lives, to kind of be in a loop to maybe be, you know, receive some emails about it. So I think that's part of my presentation tonight, was just kind of to alert you to this and to sort of get it out there with the idea that this is a pretty laying it on the line. You know, here's how many times we've met, here's some of the ideas, here's sort of the draft, the sort of agendas of the three committees that were just sort of brainstormed out, really. So I look forward to anything that you're able and willing to say tonight, you know, just an initial reaction or a comment. Or if you have nothing tonight, you know, please let me know if you'd like to, either one or more of you receive some emails about this, maybe attend next month's meeting and just meet a few people, some of whom that you might know from other things in the community. I think that's kind of really my simple presentation tonight. Let you know about this, see if there's some way over time that this new organization, what direction is it going? Let's see what the people are on the table and sort of what might be important. To me, I didn't want to, the very first meeting in June, somebody said, what about the Oak Park Post Office? And what, you know, like people start throwing out there what's really happening. And I don't mean to ignore the urgency of some issues, but I think I also personally don't want to be involved in something that's like the whole thing is about fighting the next crisis. I think if there's more education and more maybe resources ahead of time, I'd rather personally be involved earlier in a process and maybe have more of a chance to have a positive impact. And I was feeling that some of the things, even though there's some successful outcomes from things that I've been involved with sometimes, often you feel like there's somebody trying to gum up the works at the last hour, even if that's not even really what, you know, there might've been a much behind the scenes earlier process. But I think it's important maybe when it's time to really fight and stand up at a public meeting about something, to know that a lot has been done behind the scenes and done just to educate people and to maybe over time have some more positive impacts. You know, even though, you know, that's this is sort of a gray area sometimes, you know, what's really worth saving, right? Because we debate that. Is the architecture of this particular building as important as that other building, or they, or since they're both part of a historic district, it kind of tells a broader story. So I think these are good conversations to have, I hope. And that's maybe a good place to leave, unless you have some questions or comments for me tonight.
I have a few questions or comments. First off, Frank, we appreciate all you do.
Thanks.
In River Forest, I think we've got a different challenge, perhaps, than Oak Park. I think in River Forest, our challenge is public education and involvement. I think preservation may be one of the aspects that Oak Parkers view as sort of the self-definition of their community. We're not quite there yet, which isn't to say that we don't have architecture that is as outstanding. It's just a different phase. I would agree with you that it's better to advocate the concept from a whole lot of different perspectives rather than only and always playing defense. Sometimes one wins, sometimes one loses. And I think anyone who is involved with a general concept that's just trying to work thoughtfully is to achieve the broad goals. You know, I certainly welcome that personally. One of the questions I do have, I know that in the past, and I don't know the name of the organization. Effectively, it was a suburban Cook County Preservation Alliance that used to have meetings. The last one I could remember was probably in 2018 or 2019. They typically met once a year. I know we met at Pleasant Home once, and there were extensive presentations, and there was one on the North Shore as an example. But my sense is that organization has sort of fallen away, perhaps.
Let me just interject. I think there's they just brought it back, I think, kind of post-pandemic. If this is the same effort you're talking about, Landmarks Illinois had this group of sort of almost like an affinity group called Suburban Unity Alliance. And that I don't know if Suburban Unity Alliance is what you're talking about, but they were meeting several times a year, once a year anyway, and they just met in September in Naperville, and was sort of advertised the first face-to-face since COVID. So Landmarks Illinois, that's one regional initiative where there's this effort to bring people from the suburban area on working on some common issues. But that was one of the things that we were talking about, like what it's out there. Landmarks Illinois, of course, is for the whole state, but they have a sort of a Chicago area sort of advocacy person, and then they have you know, sort of the rest of the state with a different staff position. But that's something that could be a model even as this sort of effort evolves. Like what's more regional? What's one municipality versus two municipalities that have a lot in common versus the people came from Maywood or Berwyn or Forest Park? So if that Suburban Union Alliance is back in operation, I know the contact person for it if you need it.
Yeah,
so,
please.
Sure.
The one of the things that I do on the side is I do volunteer tours over at Unity Temple,
sure,
a UNESCO World Heritage Site. And what I explain to people from outside the area, many of whom are from outside the U.S., is that between Oak Park, River Forest, and Riverside, there's really a crescent of just extraordinary architecture, in a particular residential architecture from, say, 1870 to, you know, the end of the Depression, as an example. And so some way of melding advocacy among all of those and other surrounding communities certainly would make a lot of sense.
Yeah, and I think this is something that there might be an individual issue in the course of a year, either something on formally on your agenda or just things happening in River Forest that maybe aren't formally on your agenda yet, to sort of just tap in to have some friendly faces, some familiar faces. I'm very aware of, and part of my hesitation and why I was so anxious, you know, the opportunity to come here is really great, is you as commissioners in this particular commission and people in Oak Park and people in different organizations have the right to sort of draw some lines, of course. And I know I've testified a couple times related to preservation in River Forest, you know, sort of in favor of not tearing down a threatened, very kind of important building, or when the ordinance was tightened after the original ordinance made a little bit, you know, was a little tight. And I think those things have value, but sometimes if there's seven Oak Parkers in a row talking and River Foresters say, like, what are those folks doing? Even though, you know, they might be friends and neighbors from church, school, from different activities, but I think it's we have to kind of look for each other's, if we have a common interest, which again might 70% of the time do we have, you know, some agreements related to preservation, is it something that we can be useful as a sounding board, a resource to each other? So I think it's kind of important to find that. So I kind of was like, even though I sort of work on the Oak Park River Forest world, I am someone who's lived in Oak Park for 30 years. So, you know, I was a different perspective than maybe somebody who's lived the same 30 years in River Forest. So so I think that's kind of one of the things that, and not to be paranoid or weird about it, but just sometimes tread lightly and other times jump in with 2 feet if it's useful to have a perspective. And I'm probably even a little bit more, because I've sort of worked between the two villages more than some people who maybe just have not done that. So it's tricky sometimes. We want to be helpful to each other, you know, on a common issue. And I think that's something just sort of case by case. And as whatever we're trying to do here, and those of you who might participate or even come to a meeting, kind of find our way and see what the best way to do that is.
Two of our current commissioners actually started out their interest as members of the public, and then were drawn in to our happy band over the years with very significant contributions. So yeah, drawing people in is obviously important and getting different perspectives. Let me ask Carla, do you have any thoughts or comments or questions for Frank? I'll ask you simply because you're the one person who is not physically here.
Yes, I did. I read the original draft that was sent out last month, and I was thinking that I don't know very much about Oak Park preservation, certainly not the Preservation Commission there. And I have no idea how many properties are protected there, whether or not you could prohibit demolition of any of those. Can you just kind of, you know, fill us in a little bit about Oak Park Preservation Commission? Because I know it's very different than the River Forest.
Yeah, a bit of history. At one of these meetings, I don't know if it was the very first one, it might have been the September meeting, Bob Bell attended. He's an architect. And he was the first chair of the Landmarks Commission, they called it then, in 1972. I found the article in the Oakleys when he was, so they started out as the Landmarks Commission with only the new Frank Lloyd Wright District that they just called the Oak Park Historic District then. And the original ordinance was essentially these buildings should be preserved. There really wasn't like any sort of blocking of anything, whatever. So it evolved, of course, in the last 50 years. Right now, there are three historic districts in Oak Park, the Frank Lloyd Wright Historic District, the Ridgeland Historic District, and the Gunderson Historic District. And those three districts, after surveying and the, you know, the sort of historical record is made on these buildings, the Historic Preservation Commission can block the demolition of any contributing building within the historic district. It can also be appealed to the village board and potentially overturned. So there's always that, you know, appeal to the village board. There are also protections on designated Oak Park landmarks. I want to say there's 50, 60 now, and there's kind of scattered throughout the village, and they cannot be demolished again without special action. I don't think there's ever been a landmark that's been de-landmarked to be torn down yet. It's only been about 20 years, I think, the landmark process. And the other things, though, besides the capability, the ability to block demolition, a lot of it is really advisory. And people think, like, you'll hear people come into the historical site to do some research, and they'll say, the village is going to stop me from painting my house, you know, a certain color. And it's like, no, actually, color, it's, you can do whatever you want to. You know, so I think a lot of people have perceptions about that. And part of what I think triggers that perception is if you're doing something that's clearly sort of against the recommendation of the ordinance, it'll go to the architectural review committee and it'll delay your permit while it's being discussed and then goes to the full commission maybe. So it could add some time, perhaps 2 months or something, I think it's typically to the process. So there is a sense of it slowing something down if a homeowner is really anxious to move along. The second thing about that is even though there's so much that's actually advisory, when you're demolishing a part of the house, like if you're taking off the whole back of the house for an addition, some of those recommendations are stronger. And like you can say, we're approving this all at once, and we won't allow you to tear down half the house unless you work with us on the addition, you know, in terms of just, oh, having a little bit of a setback or that kind of thing. So really the protections are demolition, and then sometimes demolition is used to guide a new construction, but it's not really absolute. So it's more like, now that you want to demolish part of the house, let's talk a little bit more. And you'll see all kinds of additions in Oak Park that, like, somebody will say, how did they let them do that? And then you'll see other ones that, you know, so I think part of that's just public perception. Some people, again, the very important American debate, property rights versus the common good, you know, where do you draw the line and how do you work that through? But does that help your questions? Did I talk too much? Is that what you needed?
Yes, that's good, because it's very different than the River Forest, because we as a body, the Preservation Commission, ends up being purely advisory. We can delay demolition, but we cannot prevent it. We can say that your plans for this addition are terrible, but we cannot, you know, prevent it.
And I think my understanding, just like you talk about the fact that there was not a River Forest preservation ordinance for many years. I knew Jeanette Fields in the last 20 years of her life, and she was excited that the River Forest Commission was going to exist, because I think there was always a sense, we have a historic district, but there's not much, you know, it's nice, and sometimes people just fall in love with the fact that it's an historic district. But if somebody else comes in and sees, you know, the opportunity to, you know, have a vacant lot, they're able to do that. I think that evolution, obviously you as River Forest residents, the current commission, current and future boards, it was really an evolution in Oak Park. Because I want to say about 30 years ago, there's some cause celeb when they were talking about strengthening the ordinance, and then it got tabled. And one of the commissioners lived in a Frank Lloyd Wright house, and they took out a permit to put aluminum siding over it to prove that, you know, you can do anything to anything. And, you know, if you're not going to protect the Frank Lloyd Wright houses, is it even worth it? So that led to some other public discussions. In the end, they passed this demolition, you know, this ability to block a demolition. So, but even that, there's a lot of working with people to, you know, to make sure that it's not sort of done like a ton of bricks always. Like, I think for Oak Park landmarks, there's a real resistance, even though it's allowed under the ordinance, there's a real resistance to landmarking a building against the owner's consent. So it's sort of the policy, it's allowed if it's an important enough building and, you know, the commission can landmark it and the village board would have to approve that afterward. But it's like, let's not just be willy-nilly landmarking things and find out that a lot of people are saying, I didn't ask for this, and, you know, it's something that I'm not really supportive of. So I think, Carla, just the reason I'm saying adding that to the addendum is I think these things do evolve, and, you know, what you want now as commissioners, what the future, current and future village board want, you know, I guess that's also part of the question of some of these discussions for this, like, new group is what resources exist, and if you know, people want to make some changes, here's how it's done in another community. So I think part of that is over time is just, what's 2022 before you know it'll be 2025 and 2030, and maybe all different people, including a person standing where I'm standing, but what issues are being held sort of more commonly that there's maybe a there's a group effort a little bit more. I was also seeing in the person of Frank Heitzman, myself, a few other people, some of the same people were involved. And other people wanted to be involved, but there really wasn't a way to pull them in besides, would you come and testify at this hearing about something maybe? So I think that's kind of the part of the idea here is to have this discussion with Carla and with you, like, here's how it's being done in Oak Park, or here's, I should find out more exactly what's on your agenda. Like, maybe I can be asked formally, just personally added to, just receive the agenda so I can be a little bit more in the loop. You know, that might be one simple way. And then if I see a particular house is being discussed, partly because of my day job, will say, oh, I know a little about that house. Maybe I can send something, you know, that would be useful to your discussion. So, yeah, I think it's kind of a process. Trying to set up more of a process is part of the idea here. So.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any questions or comments in the room?
I can't hear.
What is it?
Is that better, Carla?
Yes, thanks. Thanks, David.
We're viewed as coming late to the game because of that, and then we're viewed as a structuralist rather than preservationist. Education, I think, as you mentioned, is the only strong way to get around that. Pride in the community, and then that when people have pride in their community, it's nothing. Preservation as a good thing rather than a bad thing. City here devoted just to education. I think. Idea, and I'd like the Elmer thing. There's some beautiful story to tell the history. Well worth waiting for and preserving.
But the thing is, parts of this, like the education part, like Carla was asking a question about, like how what the ordinance is like, or you know, what are the protected structures of the historic districts, all those kind of related questions. There's a lot of groups in the two villages that kind of communicate, but maybe there could be a little bit more coordination over time, like that education area, that when Pleasant Home Foundation is having a lecture on a particular topic that's of general interest, or I know Jan Sager being involved with the historical site too, with some of her walking tours and other people's walking tours related to River Forest and other places, the more we kind of keep on sharing knowledge. So I think that's the education is such a sweet spot, because if we can find out more, and I think you mentioned about the, you know, I think it's so true. I found out that E. Roberts designed this commercial structure in downtown Riverside that I didn't quite realize. And you say, oh, of course, people, architects are working regionally, and so you start to kind of broaden your perspective that there's some issues. If we were doing a lecture or something related to E. Roberts, maybe the folks in Riverside, because of sort of key commercial building in Riverside's relatively small downtown, is sort of the centerpiece is this E. Roberts building. So you start to say, oh, there'd be an interest there. And again, we sometimes lose perspective because we're just doing our, you know, that's next week. I'll do an email blast. I'll post a couple things and, you know, well, we'll see who shows up. But if the network's a little bit bigger and more connected, even if you individually or as a commission don't get involved in this heavily or not all the time, just maybe being on an email list for some or all of you might be just a useful thing. So I think that's really important to.
Architecturally, even to say that I live in the suburb where the Twinkie was.
There you go, yeah. Well, to me, I talk a lot about architecture, talking about historic preservation, but I think the social history and the people who've lived in these houses or built these houses and the businesses people have had, I think that really adds a layer of richness. Some people are sort of architectural purists, and, you know, I hats off to them that they're just very knowledgeable about what makes this architect, you know, or the main body of this architect's work compared to other architects. But to me, I just go back to the social history and just how we're connected. It's really fun to, you know, even just like the family connections locally, I just, you know, we don't know each other, but like my wife was a childhood friend of his sister, right? You know, it's like the small world around here. You're like, wait a second, that family name, you know? So I think there's a lot of that in these two villages. Obviously, a big institution like Sharing the High School and a lot of other community organizations, you do have that connection. So when we can keep on finding ways to connect a little bit more, I think it's useful. So.
Anyone else?
Frank, I did. Wonderful. The whole thought about advocacy, how I got involved in. Right outside of Washington. Time they were there was an organization called Peerless Rockville. Group of citizens basically outside of the commissions that over time has really grown into a huge advocate for commissions need help and they need bodies to do things. Go to Peerless Rockville and there's group of people who are of the whole, they're there to help. So I think what you're doing.
Yeah, there's really no substitute for public engagement and involvement. You know, there are seven of us and we do a lot, but there's seven. And on occasion when there have been critical issues that have arisen, we have had a full room, and that has not been lost on members of the Board of Trustees and the village president. And I think anything that helps build just a general knowledge base of what we have, sometimes I think that people who grew up here don't appreciate the uniqueness of the architecture here. And as such, or they may say, okay, well, I grew up in River Forest. Oak Park's got a ton. That's enough. That sort of fulfills the bucket. Well, that doesn't necessarily mean that you want to lose what else you have in addition in other surrounding communities. I think that's something that we can't lose sight of.
Yeah. Mars Mansion, the Drummond.
Yeah, I think that discussion, it's funny, the last meeting earlier this week and then the earlier meeting in September, depending on who shows up at a particular meeting, and there's been a lot of the same people, but somebody said, well, are we going to make it a 501c3 or a 501c4 so we can do more lobbying? Like, and it got into that, and it's like, well, let's not, like we don't even know where this is going. Let's do this for a year and kind of just get familiar with each other and see who's around the table over time a little bit. And I think we all think tonight, I mean, you've all sort of been nodding your heads in like education. If more people just appreciate things, that's a good baseline. But there are times to stand up and fight certain things. And where is that point? And I think some people shy away from confrontation or just being sort of hesitant to stand at the microphone and say, this is just worth preserving, you know, just, and yet they might be there behind the scenes arranging maybe a little bit of an email chain, like who's able to come to this meeting to talk about the importance of this. So I think it's not sort of one size fits all. And that's really the interesting thing. I think, you know, the idea that history and culture and architecture and this sort of built environment issue, there's a lot of issues that are overlapping and they kind of form a bigger picture. But sometimes you're just talking about one aspect of it, like this one house. And I think the good thing about preservation, in my mind, in the United States in the last 50 years over time, it's much more about a district and kind of building a sense of, instead of just one individual building, or even though it might be an incredible building and it's sad to lose some incredible buildings, is if there gets to be a little more esprit de corps that we're all, that a historic district or like this area, I think that's a real important part of the education. Because you can almost always get, when it gets boiled down to that one house, don't we have 10 others like it? And then until you get to the last one, you say, oh yeah, the other nine were torn down. You're right. This is worth preserving. It's the last one. So there is that, you know, that sort of trying to figure out what that sweet spot is sometimes. nobody has the ability perhaps to fight every single possible thing that might be fought, but what are you kind of putting more of your resources toward? And maybe if that base of more people staying involved, and maybe it works both ways, that some people in Oparka or River Forest, former commissioners who stay involved in some way, or people get involved, and then there's an opportunity to fill a position. And, oh, this person's been, I've met them through this other thing. They seem really into preservation. So part of it's almost a little bit getting the bench deeper, or having more people maybe around the table, not just during that time of crisis. So that's kind of, you know, coming back to full circle what I was saying earlier, that's really important to me. And, you know, there's something interesting. I don't know if Carla, do you still live in that wonderful house years ago I was in looking for the house walk?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, and so like you say, like just seeing your name, I was like, oh, like you go back to, oh yeah, I've been in that house, or that house was on that house walk, or I know about that art, that, you know, sometimes you know the people, like I know one of my daughters, you know, was friends with somebody who lived in that house. So I think you sort of over time, those of us who live in the community for more than a few years, you start to get a sense of like where some of these buildings are and how they, you know, how the feel of the different neighborhoods of our community. I think in River Forest, sometimes people, rightly so, will talk about certain grand houses, but, you know, parts of South Oparka, just South River Forest, just north of Madison Street, you know, there's so many great, great houses, and it's like a different feel than other parts of town, right? Or the northwest corner, that sort of like later aspect of development. So I think there's a lot of different, even in two relatively small villages, there's these neighborhoods, and I think that is really good that we think of as preservationists that, you know, there's different things. Sometimes it's not just, it's kind of a streetscape in a certain part of town. It's the fact that there's a whole block of bungalows of a certain type and a certain builder maybe that really feels like that 1920s neighborhood. So yeah, it's to me, it's River Foresters, you as commissioners, let's see how you evolve things and how the village board perhaps when it sees some more, you know, some more people involved, you know, maybe it's something that does evolve in a certain direction or maybe a little more protection or something like that. But that's something that the community, you know, needs to keep on deciding over time. And you're sort of at the forefront of that, which is sometimes frustrating when there are losses. But the reality is somebody's got to be out there fighting and, you know, working on it. So that's something that we all have to keep on struggling with, I think. So I'm up on my soapbox here. Sorry.
Not at all. Not at all. That's why you're there. Scott, thoughts, questions? Right. Thanks very much.
Well, thank you.
We will continue to stay in touch.
Excellent.
And look forward to see how things develop. I think the idea of sort of letting the organization sort of self-develop and see what happens. It's kind of like the advice that I heard a long time ago, that it's best to live in a house for at least a year before you start any kind of renovations.
Yeah.
It's probably a good idea to just kind of see what you have and what needs to be worked on and, you know, what people are there and available with various skill sets and talents and interests. Thanks very much.
Well, thanks a lot for having me, and nice to see some of you again or meet a few people. So, this document doesn't have my contact information or anything, but Dave, you reached out. I got your
Absolutely.
Email anyway, so I'll send you that. And if there's anything else, and also, please, it doesn't have to be this week or this month even, but you know, maybe it ends up being January because before you know it, it'll be the holidays or something. Do call or email. I can show you around the museum too, just to show you some of the resources and things we have for those of you who haven't been there before. So thank you.
Great.
Okay.
Thanks, Frank.
Thanks, Frank.
Okay. Next item, discussion regarding promotion of River Forest architecture and history. Well, that kind of followed by discussion of additional ways to protect significant properties. That sounds like two fingers on the same hand that we've been discussing. But if anyone certainly has any additional thoughts to that, we're always open and welcome to those kinds of thoughts and questions, particularly among new commissioners, because everyone's got a perspective and the thought that somehow because you are new to a commission that you have to bide your time is something that we all firmly reject. The idea is to put your oar in the water and we'll eagerly listen. So are there any thoughts, questions, or comments on either of those two items, either 5 or 6 from our agenda? Great. Love it. Excellent. No, you know, much appreciated. I mean, the idea is that when we've done things in the past, one or more commissioners have volunteered to sort of take an initial stab, and then we'll all kind of weigh in and add a few comments and questions. And the end result tends to be sort of a collective response, but generally a collaborative response, but tends to be, you know, be good, as you can see with the map, subject to the fact that there are a couple of typos in there. Process of historic survey revisions and additions. I know this is something that was raised at our last meeting, and I know that Jan had some thoughts. Unfortunately, she can't be with us tonight. Does anyone have any suggestions as to a central repository that we can use, or an arbiter as to the soundness of any proposed revisions to what we have in the survey or additions?
We stand on the that little development Waller Gates is, that just beautiful group of kind of mid-century modern homes. Is that, as a district, or is that?
I don't think it's set out as a district yet, Dave. I think one of the things that's was discussed, if you go back to the survey, which I has been out now for a number of years, the thought was that certain properties, if as and when they had crossed the 50-year threshold, would then satisfy the preservation litmus tests established by the Secretary of the Interior in the 1966 National Historic Preservation Act, and as such could probably be worthy of some consideration. Obviously, we'd have to figure out, one, how many there are, two, whether anything needed to be updated architecturally, what the cost to that would be, whether there are any other homes. One of the things that was thrown out is, do we need to reach a certain volume of potential properties before we approach the village board? Or do we take, for instance, the existing survey, look at those mid-century homes that were strongly suggested as possible inclusions once they've reached that vintage of 50 years. I don't know. That's kind of one of the things we thought we'd talk about tonight.
Any of those houses, the age of them.
Okay.
I can walk through them. If at all.
I think the thought was, you know, are we losing potential? Or we go back? Is the process of doing at the village hall.
Exactly. What level of information has to be presented by a homeowner that we can say, yep, the information in the survey needs to be revised. Some of it's purely technical. the construction date of our home is an example. Files over at the Historical Society, and also John's assistance going through the John Pape's assistance going through the voluminous and ancient building permits. I was here at Village Hall. We can push it back a little bit.
I did find, speaking of John Pape, either he or his predecessors had created a form to kind of accept questions for modification, which was on our website currently. So that's at least a start. It doesn't, at least my research, I couldn't find anything that spoke to assess for how that would be approved or brought back to the or staff, just kind of kept that with the rest of our information. Because we have shared drives and it, you know, passed down so that I can see what John did in the past and other things like that. So I think the logistics of creating a repository for those additions wouldn't be that difficult as long as that was passed on. I didn't know this form existed until the last couple of days when I was looking up the idea of putting a form on that page. So not sure if this discussion was before the HPC. Before, it's a pretty standard form. It could obviously be tinkered. I just thought I'd share that there is was an attempt made, whether it was staff level or before.
Yeah, no, that's great. I know that's good. Was not aware of that. Experience,
yeah, yeah.
My friend. Experience.
I assume a pile of those that have been.
Not that I have found yet.
No, right.
And buried on the page.
What's it listed under?
On our historic preservation guide page, yep. It's down towards the bottom. Appears that there's not required to go reach out to state that. I know that Tiger had found some information that relevant to include. This could be part of our kind of promotion the effort to for the survey. Do you have any new information about who may have lived there or anything else that would relevant to proven already robust?
Yeah, I know that we would need the approval of the village board in order to add properties. I would ask, Matt, can you reach out to the village attorney to see if we're authorized as a commission to make revisions of that nature? We'll just have to figure, and I assume what we'll do is we will probably discuss it and on an individual basis, see if we reach the comfort level that someone's provided enough information to make a change, as opposed to trying to figure out a one size fits all. You got to jump over this hurdle in this particular period of time. Okay. Very helpful.
Test run.
You know, she, God love her. I mean, she provides a valuable service in doing this stuff. She really does. You know, it's one of the things that I constantly tell people is all of us have different perspectives and different strengths and different interests, and we all kind of bring something different to the table, which really means that pretty much the whole panoply gets covered, as opposed to just four of us like one thing, so that if it doesn't hit that sweet spot, it somehow drops through the cracks. So, yeah, that's good stuff.
I just came across our old block party form. Block party, there were a fellow. There were many stories about their house, just all kind of. Maybe next spring.
Any other thoughts on that concept of the process? Is there any other business? Carla?
Not that I can think of now. Nope.
Okay. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Is there a second? Pat?
Commissioner Murr? Commissioner Graham White?
Aye.
Mr. Forehand?
Yes.
Moreno Ogden?
Yes.
Commissioner Krasinski?
Yes.
Chairman Frank?
Aye. Thank you all.
Thank you.